Take your Bibles now and go to the book of 1 John, just before the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter number 2 this evening, we'll read verses 14 through verse 22. Responsively, I'll read verse number 14 and you'll join me on verse 15, all the way through verse number 22. 1 John chapter number 2. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse number 14, I have written unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And let's read verse 22 together. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for the Bible, Lord, for your word that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the truth that we find in its pages. And tonight, Lord, it is more desperate than any other time, Lord, that we be grounded in truth. Lord, that we be focused on your word, Lord, not on the circumstances around us. And Lord, may tonight, Lord, as our pastor preaches, Lord, may we learn to see life through your eyes, Lord, as we hear the truth preached, Lord, as we apply it to our lives, Lord, may we take heed, Lord, may we think on the words that are preached and hide them in our heart, Lord, that we might not sin against thee. Lord, may our desires and our affections be set on you this evening. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. While you're being seated, just so you know, I got word from Brother Fugit today or yesterday, I can't remember which. Dr. Anderson is doing some better. Keep praying for him. He's got a long way to go, but he is doing some better. We Christians need a dose of reality. Not only does the world and the devil hate us and hate what we stand for, but the world isn't facing impending doom and major change after the rapture. Now, I want you to listen to me. There will be a one world global leader. His name is Antichrist. It is not Chuck Schumer. He's too stupid. The Bible doesn't give the person's actual name, but it does give him the title Antichrist. By the way, let me calm you, this cannot happen until after the rapture. Now, if you're saved, you will not face the one world globalized government. You're not going to face the beast, globalism, as a whole. But as the day approaches, we are going to see things that lead us into it, possibly. How many of you... Those of you that are my age or older remember when barcodes came out. Remember that? Remember back in the 70s where a barcode came out? I heard preachers saying that was the mark of the beast. I remember preachers preaching all over America that a barcode is the mark of the beast. Guess what? It wasn't. Before you start making predictions like that, look how many of the predictions. Brother Hiles used to joke. He said, I got a stack of 50 sermons on prophecy. I'll sell you cheap. None of it came true. There's a lot of that out there. You have to understand, the closer we get to the rapture in light of truth, more, which is that, the more of the potential of globalism we see. You're hearing the term now that's never been used before until the last 2 years, globalism. Now, we will not see Satan incarnate take over. We will be in heaven. We'll blow this popsicle stand long before that happens. Now, we need to, by the way, I believe the rapture is what kicks it off and makes it happen. That means most everything's going to have to be in place. We're going to see more and more of it. We need to realize that we are headed towards heaven. Let me say that again. We as Christians need to realize we are headed towards heaven.
Amen.
But that the lost are headed towards hell. Now, because we are going in two totally opposite directions, from time to time we're going to have head-on collisions. You have to understand, we are to be in total opposition directionally from the world. That means we've got traffic coming at us. And a lot of it. Did you know Route 9 goes two directions? I-81 goes two directions. What happens if you're going the wrong direction on that road? If you're going southbound on 81 in the northbound lanes, you're fixing to have troubles. I shouldn't tell this story, but I'm going to. My brother was about 17, maybe 18. That means I was about 14. He had just gotten a new car. And I mean a new car. He was in business and he had gotten a pretty new car. It wasn't brand new, but for a young man, it was real new. We had to drive and work, and I was helping him do some outside work and different things. We were coming back on Route 30, and he was so tired. He said, look, he pulled over, said, what are you doing? He said, you're going to drive for an hour or so. I was 14. No problem. I said, well, what do I do? He said, if there's police, just keep looking forward and look like you know what you're doing. He said, I know you can handle it. No problem. Man, I'm driving along. I get about 20 minutes down the road, and something's not right. I look ahead, and there's a car coming at me in my lane. I'm thinking, this ought not, and it's coming pretty quick. So I get over, and whoosh, and I'm thinking, that was not a good thing. We're talking divided highway, and somebody's coming west on an eastbound road here. And I had just passed an exit, and this guy's braking and skidding and sliding over to go up the... They were going the wrong direction. Well, my brother woke up just as this thing's coming at us, because I'm like, wake up, wake up, wake up. Hey! And he looks up, and there's this car coming right at us in the net. He said, whoa! I said... He said, pull over, let me drive. I said, I did what you told... He said, you did fine. Pull over, let me drive. It kind of gets you, can tell you something, that's a little bit like the Christian life. We're going to be going one direction while the world's going the total opposite direction. And every once in a while, it's going to cross over into our lane. Only by someone getting saved can they change direction. Sorry. Matthew chapter 7, you need not turn there, let me read it to you. Matthew 7 verse 13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat, because the straight gate is narrow, is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There's going to be fewer people traveling the direction we travel. But it doesn't mean we're supposed to change directions. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go the way to hell. Do you? Now, the size of the crowd does not determine rightness. We are not responsible. Listen to this statement. We are not responsible to change the direction of everybody. It is not my responsibility to change the direction of the world.
Amen.
We're just to present the truth as we pass by. Got to talk fast. You see, it's up to them whether they decide to change directions and come on our side of the road going the right direction. It is my job to present the truth as we pass by on the road, but if they choose not to change direction, that's not my fault.
That's right.
If I let them pass without giving them the truth, that's my fault. But it's not my job to make sure everybody in the world changes direction. I'll make a statement here. Don't get so wound up politically thinking that you can change anything.
Amen.
You had one vote.
Yep.
You have one voice. We ought to use it and unite, yes. But don't think that you're going to bring America back to where we were at 1789.
Amen.
Not going to happen. Now, I'm going to make another statement here. We're not to make our way look like, sound like, or be like the other way to attract them.
Amen.
We're supposed to be on the way to heaven. Why do we want to make the way to heaven look like the road to hell? Just to attract them. So, we're to live God's way as we head towards Him. God has much to say about this. I'm going to touch on it just for a little bit. But I want you to think about this. We are on a crash course collision with the world. Is that not what 1 John 2 was all about? 1 John 2 is telling us, look, you're going this way. The world's going the other way. The flesh is going one way. Spirituality is going the other. The devil's going this way. We're to go that way. And we are to bear up with the word of God and keep going the right direction, not change and be like the world. Now, number one, we must live in the world. The moon is not occupiable right now.
Amen.
Mars is too far to get to and will not sustain life. Guess what? You're stuck on this blueberry spinning in space until Jesus comes or you die.
Amen.
We have to share the world with the world. But we have to live on this planet, but we don't have to live like the rest of the planet lives.
Amen.
Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Well, I just wish the world, yeah, well, there's a lot of things I wish the world would do differently too, but if they're lost, what do you expect? We have to share it with lost people. Just think, some of you lived like that before you got saved. Don't get too upset. John chapter 15, look at verse number 19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. God says, look, if you were like the world would like you.
Right.
I'm not supposed to be the most liked preacher in America. Say why? You preach the way I do, people aren't going to like it. Saved people can barely take it. What do you think lost people think of it? And unspiritual saved people really hate it. Everybody doing okay? Look at John chapter 17. Look at verse number 16. John chapter 17, verse number 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Look at me. Jesus is saying here, look, I'm not of the world, but I had to come to this world and live the right way. They're in the world, but they're not like the world, and I'm sending them back into the world to live the way I lived. That's our job as a Christian. That means we are going to go the opposite direction from the world. And may I say this, that we're going to go the opposite direction of most religion.
Amen. Amen.
Religion is going the same direction as the world is. They're just using God's name to do it with. This world is big enough where I don't have to take care of the lost people, and I don't have to cater to them.
Amen.
Did you know the world's big enough you don't have to live like them? Did you know if your neighbor's a creep, a jerk, that you don't have to listen to them? You live in America. You don't have to associate with them. I've got some good neighbors. I really do. When my mom passed away, good night, we got cards and letters from my neighbors, and they brought stuff over. And I mean, I've got good neighbors, and I thank God for being neighborly and good neighbors. Amen? But may I say this? If I've got one that's a stinker, doesn't mean, and I've got a couple of them that are. I've got one, if he ever smiled, I promise you his face will crack. I promise you. I mean, you couldn't get a holy grunt. I mean, I wave at him, and I use all my fingers, and he just, like this. I don't know what he was at a funeral I preached one time, and thought he was a nice guy, and boy, after that, he won't even look at me. Just, and then, I don't care. Doesn't bother me. Say why? I don't have to live with it. I don't worry what he thinks of me. I'm going the right direction, on the right road. I'll live the right way, and I'm not going to live like the lost world while I'm trying to go to heaven. Boy, that's a good statement. The world is temporary for the saved. We're just passing through, getting ready for eternity. I hate to tell you something. I don't live focused on the world. The Bible tells us that for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We as Christians better get the lust of the things of this world out of our system.
Amen.
We need to get the pride of life out of our system. Statements like, well, I deserve this because I work. You don't deserve anything but hell. Thank God for the grace of God. And I'm telling you, be careful. We've lived on the fatted calf a long time, but eventually the fat runs out. America can only borrow money it doesn't have so long, and the credit card comes due.
That's right.
Our national debt's nearing $30 trillion. Well, the government will give me another stimulus check. Yeah. And it's income, and you're going to pay taxes on it, just so you know. Thomas Jefferson said, a government that's big enough to give you everything you want is strong enough to take everything you have away.
That is correct.
Be careful depending on government. My focus is way beyond this world. I get in trouble with some Christian people. Say why? Because my focus is not now, it's eternity. My view of death, a couple weeks ago I preached a whole sermon about death and sorrow and grief and mourning. Maybe one of the most important sermons you'll ever hear. But I've got Christian people that hate my guts over preaching that already. Can I tell you why? Because they're living for the things of this world. Our focus needs to be on what's hereafter, not what's here.
Right.
Folks, if I kick off right now, there's a lot of people that'll be happy. I'll be one of them. I'm not looking forward to dying, trust me. But may I say something? When this old body breathes its last breath, I'll promise you one thing. I will have done everything I know to do to help every human being I possibly could help, both here and for eternity. My wife will tell you, we've lived our entire adult life trying to serve people, help people, give our life for the cause of Christ, 31 and a half years full time, and actually longer than that if you take Bible college and put it in there. And we've given everything we've got. I have no regrets. I wouldn't want to live any other way. I'm spoiled rotten. I really am. I don't regret anything. Well, you could have made a lot of money. Yeah, I could have made a lot of money. Maybe. I don't know. Never thought about making a lot of money. Just tried to help everybody I could help. We've seen an awful lot of people get saved. Seen a lot of lives changed. Hey, I must live in this world, but this world is only temporary. It's not eternal. Don't put so much stock in this world. Number two. The world is to go from us and not be of us. The word from, it's interesting. Look at 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I know I'm a little bit different than some people. I like words. I study words. Did you know that the word from and the word of are not the same word? They're just little prepositions. You say, what's a preposition? Those are those 48 words you were supposed to memorize in grade school. About, aboard, above, crossed, after, against, along, amid, among, around, yet, for, by, you know, those words that you don't remember. two of those words are from and of. They're just little prepositions, but boy, did they have big meaning. The word from means the point of departure. It means going the direction away. Brother Josh, stand up here for a second. Come on up here for a second. Face the same direction that I'm facing. When he goes from me, he's departing from where I'm at and leaving. That's what the word from means. It is a point or origin of departure. Now watch this. Come on back, Brother Josh. When you're of someone, the word of means belonging to or coming towards. He was in the world, but he's now to be of us. Ah, that's exactly the difference. One is coming toward, the other is departing from. Thank you, you can have a seat. Now notice verse 19 again. They went out from us. In other words, they departed and left. They went a different way. But they were not of us. They weren't coming to us. They were leaving from us. For had they been of us, that means coming our direction, they would no doubt have continued with us. That word with means alongside. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, sounds a little wordy, right? The world and carnal religion will go from us and not stay around us. Did you know we're not supposed to hold hands with people that have wrong doctrine? Amen. We're not supposed to associate with people with bad doctrine. That means on your radio too. So-called Christian radio. When they're using the wrong Bible, you're holding hands with people with bad doctrine. I love you. I don't care if it's Chucky Swindoll or Hocus Pocus on the Family, James Dobson. I don't care if it's Oral Roberts or Joel Osteen. Who's the lady? Joyce Myers. Don't get me started on that one. In other words, religion doesn't make it right. By the way, just because it says Baptist on the sign doesn't make it right. It's got a better chance. But it doesn't make it right. Not everyone who leaves this church is worldly or going a bad direction, but people generally who leave this church disgruntled or not happy aren't going the right direction. They might come and stay a while and then off they go. Fleshly people will not feel comfortable around truly spiritual churches. They want stained glass. They don't want the Holy Spirit. Well, I'd rather have the Holy Spirit than stained glass any day. The Holy Spirit's free. Stained glass is expensive. If you have to have stained glass to make you feel spiritual, your spirituality is based on your flesh and not the Holy Spirit. You can go to any Catholic church you want and find all the stained glass and statues and hear all the weird spooky music and see dead people buried in the walls and everything else. Man, those places are creepy. Who wants to go to church in a cemetery? You know, who? Not me. I was on tour in high school, ensemble tour one time, and we had to stay with a guy in this church, and the guy was a mortician. We slept over top of the funeral home. Well, the top was the residence, the main floor was the funeral home, and the basement is where they did all the business. We got a tour of the basement before we went up. You know, that was a pretty creepy night, knowing you're sleeping in a building where dead people are. You know, Now, it was kind of fun because we had a guy that was hilarious, Greg Petty. Greg was nuts. And Greg was one of these jokester kind of guys. He made me look calm. Okay? I told Mark, I said, Mark, let's get Greg. He said, what? I said, well, we just got back from the basement seeing what that guy does to dead people. I said, Greg was a little creeped out. So he went in the bathroom. And there was one nightlight on in the entire area where we were at. And Mark was a big guy. Greg was too. Greg was not quite as big as Brother Scott, but pretty close. And when you're in high school, that's a big dude. When I was 5 foot, at that time probably 6 and weighed about 100 pounds at most. And that's with my pockets full. Mark grabs a hold of the door frame. Greg's in the bathroom. All of a sudden the door opens, the light's out, and Mark goes, "Ugh!" And it's all you heard was, boom! He hit the floor. It was great. Scared him to fall down to the ground. Once we revived him, he started laughing. But it really was funny. Say why? Because we were sleeping around dead people and it was kind of creepy. I did not rest well that night. You know, I said, look, I slept really light because I had a feeling they were going to pick me up and carry me and put me in one of those boxes down in the basement or something, you know. I did not want to wake up in one of those things. Don't put me on that cold table. Too many Christians and churches are trying to look like and attract the world rather than obey God and travel on the road God wants us to travel on. John 12:32 is still in the Bible, folks. Turn to John chapter 12. Look at verse number 32. That doesn't look like the right verse. It's not. It's the wrong chapter. Not what I wrote down, where I was at. The Bible says this, and if I be lifted up from the earth, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Did you know we are supposed to lift up Christ, not make our church look like the world? If we would just lift up Christ as we follow the road that he told us to follow in the word of God, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We are not supposed to bring in the high techno stuff and the smoke machines and the rock music and get everybody up here to dance on the platform and call it praise and worship. We're not supposed to bring the colored lights and make it look like Hollyweird. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Church is supposed to be brightly lit, not look like a movie theater. Amen. The platform isn't the only thing supposed to have lights and everything else be dark like a movie theater or a conference hall. My job is to show the truth as I head the right direction. We are to lift up Christ, lift up truth as we travel down the road, and it will attract some people as they're headed towards hell. Isn't that what soul winning's all about? Soul winning is us going the right road as people are traveling the wrong direction. We need to lift up Jesus in his way, not our newfangled, worldly-looking, worldly-sounding ways of church. We got too many pretty boys, and we've developed a California-style mentality of church. I'm not trying to attract the wrong direction. I'm trying to travel the right road, the right way, lifting up Jesus. And if somebody wants to come, so be it. My job is to give them the information, not make sure that they change directions.
Amen.
I'm not trying to make our church liked by everybody in the world. Matter of fact, most of them won't. Now, if they got a hold of the truth, they would love it. But I'm not supposed to be the attractive one. Trust me, after 53 and a half years, it ain't going to work. But I'm not trying to attract the world. I'm trying to lift up Jesus and let him be the attraction.
Amen.
Too many churches, the pastor is the attraction. Folks, can I tell you something? If I die today, somebody else can take this church and keep it going. This church is not about this preacher. Did you hear that? I am a sinner like you are. Somebody else can pick up the mantle and the truth and keep going if we're lifting up him and not a person.
Amen.
Boy, that's good stuff. Number three, let me review. Number one, we must live in the world. Number two, the world goes from us and they are not of us. Did you know? You're going to have people come to this church, you're going to love them, and they're going to leave, and they're going to hurt you.
Sorry.
Happens. That's how you keep a church pure. You multiply by dividing. Sometimes you got to pull out the weeds and the tares. Sometimes those tares grow with the wheat, but eventually you got to pull them tares out so you can harvest the wheat. It doesn't mean they're bad people. But you're going to separate with people through the years. By the way, it happened from high school, didn't it? Happened from college, didn't it? Happens in every area of life. Happens in your work world. Why do you get so upset about it when it happens at church? It's a natural part of staying pure and right. Number three, our church and our life should go opposite that of the world. I heard a preacher say this a long time ago. As I was flipping through my mom's Bible one day, I saw she had written this statement down. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would you be convicted? Would you be found guilty? Let me ask you a question. Do people know? We should not be the same distance from the world. We should be going a different direction from the world.
Sorry.
Brother Roloff used to use this statement all the time. And I've used the illustration. Seems like the church has kept the same distance between the church and the world. But as the world got worse, now the church is more worldly than the world was 50, 75 years ago. Okay, I'm going to confess a sin. Hang on. I'm going to sprinkle some holy water here. I grew up on Southern gospel music back in the 70s. I mean, way back. And most of the music was from long before the 70s. I grew up on the old Stamps Baxter stuff. And I mean, the real old stuff. Now, wait a minute. Listen to this very carefully here. I haven't looked at Southern gospel music in a long time. A long time. But I know as of 20 years ago or so, the average Southern gospel, quote unquote, Christian group was more worldly than the Beatles were in the 60s. Compare their haircuts. You put an album of the Beatles up and compare a modern contemporary Christian group, and the Beatles look more Christian than the Christian group does. What happened? Religion kept the same distance from the world, but as the world got worse, Christianity didn't stay in place. They moved with it. Now we've got churches with electric guitars and drums and got their bands, and they got their women up and men up dancing in their praise and worship teams and jigabooing and got their words flashed up on a screen saying, "Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Let's sway. Oh, I love you. I love you." And that's all they say in their songs. Lord have mercy. And they call themselves going the right direction. Oh, years ago, we were in the IRS building, and a guy came and he saw the building and he wanted to look through, and I walked him through. He's a local preacher, kind of. Preacherette, smoking on a cigarette. He said, "Man, you got enough room in here. You could clear the chairs out and have a big dance and invite all the young people and play all kinds of music, and you could preach the gospel and get a lot of people saved." I said, "Sir, that's not going to happen here." He said, "Well, how do you think you're going to reach them?" I said, "Soul winning and preaching the hell out of them." He looked at me. Mrs. Barnes was standing there going, this poor little guy tucked his tail and he did not know what to say. He just left. You don't get people saved by looking like the world.
That's right.
You get saved by preaching the gospel and preaching the devil out of them. That's why the church is more worldly than the world was 75 years ago. You know that 75 years ago, you couldn't tell much difference between the Methodists, the Baptists, and the Presbyterians and the Nazarenes? Boy, there's a big difference now. Do you know that 75 years ago, Nazarenes and Baptists and Methodists preached in each other's churches? How many of you have heard the name Dr. Bob Jones Sr., Bob Jones University? He was a Methodist. He was an independent Methodist, and when the United Methodists broke everything that they had, he said, "See you later." Old Dr. Bob, do right till the stars fall. Yeah, old Dr. Bob Jones, he was a Methodist. If you showed up, okay, in 1980, none of your business. 1983, shut up. Somebody deal with this sinner down here. Hit the altar. In 1983. My Christian high school went there for an ensemble and choir preaching tournament that they had. Dr. Bob Jr. would not let me preach in the preaching because I was preaching on the authority of the King James Bible. I almost got kicked off the campus and I was only there 2 days. I mean, maybe 3 days. It wasn't much more than that. I got called into Brother Bob's office because I challenged it. I preached my sermon to him. They did not let me enter. And he looked at me and said, "Young man, if you're not careful, Bob Jones University wouldn't accept you when you graduate from high school." I said, "Sir, no worries about it. I'm not applying." He looked at me, he said, "You're awful arrogant." I said, "You're awful liberal." I said, "Your daddy'd have a heart attack if he heard what you just said." That's what almost got me kicked off the campus. See, I've always been a little bit wild. By the way, they weren't bad people, but they were trying to attract the world. If you stepped on the campus of Bob Jones University today, it wouldn't look much different than the University of Maryland right now. Not much. It's changed so much. Say why? They were trying to attract the world. They become like the world. Now they're trying to bring Christianity going on their road to hell. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Our message should be the opposite direction of the world. It should be grace, not works. It should be spiritual, not fleshly. Our message is going to be 100% different direction than the world. It's not going to be psychology. It's going to be Bibleology. I can get rid of most of your psychological visits, trust me. Now, some of you, I'm sending you to them just because you're having a meltdown because you're so used to it. But that's all right. Our music should be different than the world's music. Our words, our style of music ought not be like the world's music. Did you hear that? I'm a stickler on music. It goes to him, then it goes to me, and I'm pretty tough on music. You say, why? Because I don't want anything to have to do with the world and the worldly style of music. I showed up, I took my wife and one of my kids or two of my kids to the church I got saved in, and at one time was the largest church in the state of Ohio, and I think the second largest church in the nation, running 10,000 people in its heyday. 5,000 seat auditorium. Don't take this the wrong way, but we had to search for somebody that was even working there. Finally got in. Nobody was dressed appropriately. And I said, look, I'm just passing through. I'd like to show my kids the auditorium. They said, the new one or the old one? I said, not the fellowship hall, the old auditorium where Dr. So-and-so used to preach. Oh, that's the old auditorium. We only use that for special occasions. I said, oh, really? Oh, yeah, we'll have to find somebody that's got a key. So they called around, finally found a janitor that fumbled around and tried about 20 keys and finally found one to let us in. And I walked in and there's drum sets, electric guitars. And the old preacher's pulpit stood there. And I thought Dr. So-and-so would have a heart attack right now. Oh, how sad. Oh, how sad. I even wrote a poem. I didn't bring it, but I wrote a poem from that pulpit's point of view of what's happened to that church since then. How sad it is. Used to be a citadel of soul winning and buses. Now they're building a family worship center. Our soul winning should be different. It's supposed to be biblical, not cultural. Do you hear that? We are supposed to be biblical, not cultural. I'm not trying to be accepted culturally. I'm trying to be accepted by God.
Amen.
I'm not worried about what the community thinks. I worry about what God thinks. Now, I'll be a good neighbor. Brother Juan and I knocked on our neighbor's door yesterday and might have this family up here coming to church soon. Everybody that's lived there, I've knocked on the door. Back here, same thing. That's where we got Miss Shoebridge. I'm not afraid of it. I'll be a good neighbor, but I'm not changing anything we do just for the neighbor.
Amen.
We're supposed to be confrontational with our soul winning, not casual. I believe we ought to be telling people about Jesus, not letting the Lord lead us. That's a cop out. How we live should be different. We ought not drink like the world, curse like the world, be crude like the world. And we ought not be stepping on everybody else to climb up the ladder of success like the world does.
Amen.
We're supposed to love one another, not screaming at everybody that disagrees with us. I gotta quit. It's 6:59. We who are saved are going to have collisions with those going the opposite way. We are not to go their direction to help them. Did you hear that? We're not supposed to go the direction of the world to help them. We're to stay on our direction, lifting up Jesus, lifting up truth, and that will draw them to the right direction. Let's not get caught up in cultural Christianity. By the way, do you know what the root word of culture is? Cult. By the way, cultural Christianity is trying to be like the world to attract them, to bring them to the gospel. That's what these community churches are. That's what the outhouse, or what do you call that? Used to be the living room. I don't know what they call it now. Airplane church or air and space museum or something or other. Yeah, airborne, that's it. Say, what is that? That's cultural Christianity. It's given Jesus a bad name. Yeah, that's a church where the more money you give, the closer to the pastor and pastor's wife you get. That's a church you go to and they tap into your bank account and automatically delete your tithe. Say, you shouldn't say that. Okay, don't. I did.
That's true.
They're going to do it. I'm going to preach it.
Amen.
That's wicked as hell. It's not in the Bible.
Right.
Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. Don't take it out of their bank account.
Amen.
Let's continue on our pathway for God. Let's go the right direction, but realize from time to time, we're going to have confrontations, and let's not be like them as they travel on the way to hell. Let's show them how good it is on the way to heaven. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. From time to time, we're going to have collisions with the world. It's okay. We're going the right direction. Let's not change directions to get to the world. Let's keep going the right direction, lifting up Christ, drawing all men to him.